to the roof. Can't hear me? People can't hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, so the person all the way back, I mean, it was close, man. All right, I'll speak a little bit louder. Since we're running a little bit high, I'd like to go ahead and get started. First, I'd like to introduce Steve Pierce, the director of Phoenix District.
Thank you, good morning. We're delighted to have you here today. The Massachusetts Housing Finance Agency, where you are, is our state's affordable housing bank. We finance real estate. And so the thrust of our mission over the last 30 years is bricks and mortar, to build that real estate, provide good housing for people in our state. But over the last several years, we've really realized that there's more to it than that. To really build communities, we also need to ensure that they're safe. That's how Thaddeus Miles got involved with us as our security director to help have private security forces and others to keep them more safe. And at the same time, here he got interested more as a volunteer to develop a sense of technology and access to technology in our housing. And that's where CyberTree and now CyberTree 2 come from, is the idea that for all of us to have the opportunities that this amazing age that we live in available, then these instruments, so relatively new and so relatively different for people of my generation, have to be second nature to people of your generation. And we're delighted that you're here because of the interest and the proficiency you've already displayed in technology and the internet. I hope this is going to be a great day for you and very, very exciting. It'll certainly be a day out of school, but in a little different place. And whether your interest over the coming years is as a consumer, as a business owner, as a technology professional, as a student, and perhaps shortly as a teacher, this technology is going to unlock a great new world for every one of you. And I hope today will be a big part in helping you to take that step forward. Welcome to MHFA, and good luck with what you're going to do today. Thank you very much.
Good morning. Hi. My name is Marty Dee, and I'm working with the Boston HUD office. I'm the partner in this initiative, and I'm going to say a few words today on behalf of Secretary Andrew Cuomo and our region's administrator, Mary Lou Cranny. I'm really thrilled to be here today. When I was thinking about things to say this morning, I talked to a few people in my office who have been around Boston for many years, and they talked about Canfield Estates, and they talked about Canfield before the renovation and before the work that was done. And as I told them about what we were going to be here doing today and how Canfield has been organizing all of these initiatives, they were amazed and told me some stories about sort of like the old days and before the renovations and before all of the new initiatives that have been put together. And one of the things that kept coming back to me was all of these were the result of tremendous partnerships. The partnership that created the new Canfield Estates was the Demo Dispo program, which Mass Housing Finance was certainly a lead player in, along with HUD and with communities, with community especially. And then we went and we saw what was happening at Canfield after it was completed. And coming out of that was the Neighborhood Network Initiative, which gave some of the operating support to create the Technology Center at Canfield. And this is a tremendous partnership that you're involved with today, CyberTree, between MHFA and HUD and Harvard and the community. And all of these partnerships working together just provide so much tremendous opportunity to the people in this room, for you young people to get involved in the internet. There are certainly many speakers today who can more eloquently talk about the benefits of getting this training, becoming skilled on the internet use. But one of the things that I'd like to leave you with is none of this would have been possible without community, state, federal folks working together to create what we have here today. HUD is proud to be part of this initiative. We'll continue to support it. We look forward to having having you have a very successful day today. Thank you.
Next to the microphone will be not only your teacher, president of Canfield Tenant Organization, but she was the one that wrote the plan and the design for the Neighborhood Technology Center. That's the reason that we're here today, Ms. Paulette Ford.
I'm not going to bore you with the history of Canfield or the history of the Neighborhood Technology Center, but I am glad to see so many young people here, because the literacy, technology literacy, is going to be the thing that carries you through into the future. And you're going to be able to do things on a larger scale than we ever were because of technology. It's important that you learn as much as you can, that you master it, and that you understand it. So I'm glad to see the Cyber Tree is finally getting off the ground, and I'm glad to see that there are finally connections being made with the school systems and with other communities. So I'd like to welcome you today. I hope you learn a lot. I hope you develop new friendships and partnerships, and I hope you go on to succeed in many great ways. Enjoy the day.
Good morning, and I'd like to say welcome again. We now want to turn the program over to our moderator for the day. Our moderator is Professor Charles Ogletree of the Harvard Law School, and also co-director of the Berkeley Center for Internet and Society. So let's give him a big hand.
Thank you, and good morning, and welcome. This is going to be a very interesting and exciting day for every single one of you. Today, you're going to be not the students, but the teachers. You're going to be taking a course that allows you to expand your mind and your horizons and your ideas about the internet and how it connects to not just what you do today, but the whole world. And we have assembled a group of great people to help you make that happen today. I'm excited to be part of this. The Berkman Center, which is at Harvard Law School, is an institution that is committed to exposing many people, not just here, but around the world, to the internet, and to making it a tool for education and access to information. And we do that by sponsoring international and national local programs, and we're happy to be a co-sponsor today. I'm going to introduce your keynote speaker, who will, in a sense, give you an introduction to this. I want to tell you a little bit about the program today so you'll know your expectations. We're going to have three concurrent sessions running today. They each will last about 40 minutes. And you all have a badge. If you look at your badge now, it tells you the room number you're going to go into. Room number for the first group or the second group. And if you have a badge without a room number, you stay here. You stay in this room. That's where you will be assigned. And it represents the group that you will be with as well. You also should have some other materials in your registration packets. For the teachers, we're going to have a very special treat today. There's a special training for teachers that Charlie Nesson and Bob will be handling. And we'll explain it a little bit later as well. So if you didn't pre-register, just stay here in this room, and we will give you the proper assignments. I want to introduce to you Riqueza Matsubodio, who is an internationally acclaimed scholar in technology. He has set up both internets and intranets here in the United States and in countries around the world. He communicates with people through technology, through storytelling, and through his human connectedness. In the past, he served as president of the National Storytelling Division, and he currently serves as senior consultant with Visions Incorporated, where he works with a number of Fortune 500 companies and other companies, and he also serves as a partner in Williams Consulting Services, one of the collaborators on the Cyber Tree Initiative and this conference today. staunch advocate of empowerment through technology and works to provide education and technology training to communities throughout the world without regard to race or wealth. He's a passionate defender of the internet, and he is someone who I think will help you explore the ideas and introduce you to what will be happening with the rest of the day. Please join me in welcoming Rakesa Matsumoyo today. Thank you.
Jumbo.
Jumbo.
The short version is see Jumbo. Jumbo.
See Jumbo.
Try it again. Jumbo.
Jumbo.
Glad to be here. My name is Rakesa Olatunji Matsumoyo. Can you hear me if I don't move from the mic, or is it important that I stay here? I'm also asking my technical people. Okay? Because I'm the kind that moves and I want to be close to. First, I want to introduce myself and let you know why you hear this African name of Rakesa Olatunji Matsumoyo, and I'm dressed in these African clothes, and you don't hear an African accent. Well, I was born in Fayetteville, North Carolina, many, many moons ago. At that time, when I was born in Fayetteville, North Carolina, it was not a pleasant place to be if your skin was dark. We would come into town and it said, "Welcome to Fayetteville, home of the Ku Klux Klan." That's the billboard we were greeted with. Black was considered ugly. I didn't want to be that. Tarzan, those old Tarzan movies, sometimes they come on late at night. You don't stay in that. The old Tarzan movies that had African people or darker skinned people depicted as foolish. That's foolish. I didn't want to be that. So at that time, I was not proud of the African part of me. I was American. American. Not connected with the African part of me because I didn't want to be connected to cowardice and imbecility and shame. Fortunately for me, a short, dark-skinned black man came out of Augusta, Georgia, singing a song. Much like singers come on now and light fire under you. His name was James Brown. And he started singing a song. Anybody got any guesses? Young folks on. See how far you go back. Okay. How many of you know James Brown? Okay, we got a couple of hands. Okay, now older folks in the room, you can get to guess. What do you guess? Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Now this was transformative for me. Because before that time, I was ashamed. And I started to want to know more about this part of me. And I started to read and dig and scrape and pull. And I did that all through high school. This happened in junior high school. I did that all through high school. And then I went to college and I kept on reading and researching and digging and talking to people. And I began to be so proud of this African part of me, a part that I used to be ashamed of. That one day I said, I want to celebrate this African part. In college, you want to celebrate something. What do you think about doing? Party! But I didn't have the kind of money to throw a party that would be commensurate, that would equal this pride that was bubbling up inside. And after all, you can get was so stoned, and then you go to sleep. And I wanted this party to last for a long time. So I decided that I would change my name. And I went on a research quest to change my name, to learn about Africans and African people in the name. And I took Wekesa, which means the harvest. It's from the Abaluyu people in Kenya. I took Olatunji, which is from West Africa. And it means honor and riches reawakened. And I took Matsumoyo, which means water of life. One who gives a lot of himself or herself. And that's from the Mboni people in Malawi, a northern migration of Zulus. And my dad got there and put some stuff in it. You know how parents get kind of concerned about you when you start putting something a little bit. Well, they were really concerned. My father was concerned that I would not get a job or that even people like you would think that I have nothing to offer you because I have this African name. My mother just wanted to know that I was kind of doing it on my own and hadn't gotten wrapped up in something. And once she learned that, she took an African name. Her name was Tuminanga. I said was because she passed. Very too sad for her. And she's with me today. Tuminanga means God is with us. My father was a tough enough to crack, but eventually he came along. I decided years later that I would wear African clothes because I want to continue to learn to love this African part. And there you have it. Now, what might you say has that to do with the internet and what you're going to do here today? Well, these laptops, what you will be learning are tools. Who you are, what you believe, what your vision is, will really dictate what you make of these tools. And so part of that story was what I was making of my life. That's the real drive. Those are the real motivators. These can be instruments and tools. Now, my goal here in this short time is to challenge and inspire, is to also have you know the power that you have and inspire you to use the internet and computing as tools to help you live out that power that you have to create the world that you want to create. Now, the first challenge, however, is not to you as students directly. It's to us who are a little older, maybe graying, because many times we look to you as the future and look to you as people, young people, who will close this gap. The gap between the have and the have not. Have you heard that? Anybody? The gap between, you know, students and people of color on the internet and whites. Heard that? Y'all heard about any of that? Come on, help me now. I'm going to tell you, my grandfather was a preacher. He said, now, I need to know that you know the interactivity. That's what the internet is about. If you don't know about it, I say yes. You say no.
No.
Okay? Give me something. Give me. Be real with me. All right. So this gap. Now, I want to talk to them. Y'all can bear with me a little bit. You're over here. But I want to talk to the adults a little bit about the gap. This is a big thing about us getting this gap closed. And what I want to say to us, the adults, the teachers in the room, all of us who work hard to have you here and who love you dearly, is an African proverb says, an elephant's head is no load for a child. An elephant's head is no load for a child. That is, this gap that we're talking about on the internet is reflective of the gap in income, of the gap in terms of police servicing, of the gaps in terms of birth rates and mortality rates at birth. That is, the gap that we see in the internet is reflected of larger societal gaps. And it is our job to address them as vigorously as we address this gap. And in fact, to inspire our use of the internet so that it can lead you to address those gaps. Now, us that's gray, and some of you who are dying and hiding it, that we are here, we really need you, the youth. And we have a responsibility to you. We've done the best we could. We're doing the best we can. We look to you, the young who are here, to stand on our shoulders so that you can see farther than we can, so that you can have a clearer vision. The question for us who are brave is how tall are we standing? Because how far you can see, whether that's what you see in terms of your use of the internet and computing, or what you see in other aspects of your life, is really based on how tall we are standing. And the question to us, the challenge to us, is what kind of perch are we providing for you so that you, the young, can see? When our integrity is compromised many times by promotions and trinkets, the promise of promotions and trinkets. When our intellectual curiosity, instead of peaking and standing tall, is stooping. It's sitting in the front of television, watching mindless comments, watching the ball wherever it goes. I'm not talking to young folks right now, I'm talking to old. Because it's important that we stand tall so that you have shoulders to stand on. So it's a challenge to us. Because if we want them to use it, we must show them that in our various areas, whether it's technology or not, that we are stretching as much as we can stretch. That the peaks that we provide for them to stand on will really allow them to see much further. And therein, I think, lies the motivation for them to use this. And I thank you, young folks, for indulging in this message. That message is over. Now I have a question for you. What is your vision? I just need a couple of people. How would you like your world or the world to be better? Give me three responses, please. Education? What about it? You got education now. So how would you like education to be better? You want computers on every table? On every table. That's how you want it to be better. Yes, great.
A better sense of defense for
ourselves. A better sense of what?
Defense for ourselves.
Defense for ourselves. Great. Tell me what you mean by that.
Party comes down harder on us than anybody else.
Right. You want to protect yourself as young people from unwarranted attacks from authority. Put that. Others.
Less college
funds. Less what?
Less college funds.
Less college funds?
I mean more college
funds. More college funds. Okay. More college funds. Okay. All right. Now, I haven't heard a female voice yet. Talk to me. Have you no vision, no ideas, no what you'd like the world to be? I don't believe that. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. No more racism. All right. Any more? How would you like to make the world better? Or your life better? Reduce the tuition. Reduce the tuition and increase the funds. I got it. My man is heavy on education here. Get ready for education. Now, the reason that I asked you this, and it's important that you really go and to explore what your ideas are, is because these are pieces of metal. All around us, technology is wires and metal. It is your idea and your ideal that will drive the technology. I interviewed a number of people preparing to come to talk. Your age. And I asked them, do you use the internet? I suspect all of you here use the internet. Is that true?
Yes.
And tell me, what percentage of your friends do you think use the internet at all?
0.2.
Pardon me?
0.2.
0.2? Okay. All right, another question that I have is what do you use the internet for?
Homework.
Homework. What else? Entertainment. Yes. Games, yes.
Research information.
What I found is all of those same answers I also found when I asked, now, which one do you use the most for? What would you
entertainment.
How did you know?
Exactly.
Entertainment. And mainly they said, well, you know, I like to look up my latest artist. I mean, the artist, and look up and, you know, hear some of the samples from the song. So I got into it. I went to Common Sight. Anybody know Common Sense? I went to Common Sight, you know, and I checked out a song. You know, heard a little, you know, we got a song for a song. So that was really neat. And so I asked him, so yeah, okay. And so I wanted to see what they were doing, what you were doing. Because I'm kind of old folk, guy. I'm not used for boring kind of stuff. So really? Looking up the artists, looking up whatever. And then they would say, we were researching, we were papers, we looked for college stuff, and I really liked all of that. And I asked this other question, and I'll ask it of you. How much have you put on the internet for others to consume? Okay. Give me some hands if you have put things on the internet for others to consume. Oh my. Okay. Now, the internet will help you be a better consumer, and so it's fine to use it to consume. However, if you are to have your ideals be realized, if you're to have the world like you want it, then you will need to input on the internet. You need to put your ideas, the kinds that you just expressed here, better education, more access to education, better defense, no racism, those will need to be out there because your words and your ideas are powerful. And part of what we're going to be doing today is having you look at how many ways you can put yourself out there on the internet. How you can use it as a tool to make your world, the world that you want, come true. That's really what it's about. Now, I'm a storyteller. I wanted to bring my djembe. You know what a djembe is? Anybody a djembe drum? I started taking lessons. I've been flipping around for years, but I started taking lessons, and I really want to carry that. But I thought of people, of the gentlemen in the baggage folks throwing my djembe around. And if they crack my djembe, and I just got a new head on it, I would really be lit. So I decided I couldn't bring that to them. I want to get on the table, but I decided I would go. But the djembe is a symbol of old-fashioned storytelling. I had to decide right here in this theory whether I would talk to you like this or whether I would click and have you look at the screen. What we need is an old-fashioned and new tech together. Because this kind of what are your ideas, this kind of need of you, this kind of inspiration, this kind of contact is critical for motivation. It's critical for understanding. And then we begin to tell stories. I want to tell you a story about a gentleman, and some of you, when we enter the workshop part, you'll get to know more. This man, he was a child who was born in Nigeria. He was an Igbo. And his father was doing pretty good work, and his family was doing pretty good. Then there became a civil war. And his family was thrust into poverty. And he was hungry a lot of the time. His father insisted that he learn mathematics and would time him and have him remember and be able to not only the multiplication table, but complex math problems like that. He continually drilled them. His son, who was impoverished and hungry, but still having been fed intellectually and having his father having a high standard, when he went to take this exam, they decided that he must have been cheating because he went and finished an exam in 5 minutes that supposedly take 2 hours. They said, no, it must be wrong. Some of you will remember, have you seen the video Stand and Deliver? You seen the video?
saying that kind of thing. You couldn't possibly know how to do this. What he did, he did not get his certificate because they did not believe him. He managed to leave the area and become here. And when he got here to the United States, he took an equivalency exam and passed it. It was given by a university. And he passed it and began to apply himself mathematically. He did extremely well. And then he went to Washington, D.C. after graduating with a couple of graduate degrees and hit the brick wall of racism. Ended up without a job, even though he was tremendously skilled and highly technical, and again hungry. And he said, the hunger that I felt in Washington, D.C. was like the hunger that I felt in Africa. But his stomach hunger was no match for his hunger for life. And he overcame that. And he decided that he would get back involved in technology, and he did, and began to be hooked up with scientists who were in the early development of the internet, before it was called the internet, was helping to design all kinds of things. He had got access to many of the supercomputers. In fact, now, but the government said we have five of these, maybe eight, and we have five or eight of these centers. They got $30 million, and these are serious scientific research centers. And he applied, and because of the level of work he was doing, he gave him a pass and a password. When he got to one of the centers, the gentleman there saw that he was African and denied him entry. He said, this is for serious research. So, this Nigerian man, born in Kabul, was turned away again, even though he was technologically genius. Again, his hunger for life was greater than the racism he faced. He decided that since he had access to some of the smaller centers, he would do it anyway. He set a record in 1989, I believe. He set a record of the most calculations per second. 3.1 billion calculations per second. Not on a supercomputer, but by using his access to many computers, he created a network of parallel processing that has 65,000 computers, basically PCs, tied together doing parallel processing, created what's called the connection machine, won the Nobel Prize of Technology. And his invention allowed oil industry to do much more recovery of oil in places they hadn't been before. And at this point, this man, whose name is Philip Inwale, has started a project called Africa One, where he's connecting the whole continent so that when you make a telephone call from Nigeria to Tanzania, it doesn't have to go to Europe. He's connecting fiber optics around the country, around the continent. You will learn more about him in the particular workshop. We'll go to his website. I tell you this story because you will face obstacles. What I'm hoping, what I take from his story, and I hope you do, is that your hunger for life, for the ideals and ideas that you have, is greater than the stomach pains that will be occasioned by your not being at the top of your ability, or being rebuffed by racism, or sexism, or whatever. I want to not delay this anymore. I want you to get to where you put your hands on the computer, where you are exposed to some of the genius heads that we have here and assembled here to work with you today. I want you to be in it. I will leave you with a quote by Intouju Caswell. She's part of In Process, and she's a trainee of Sweet Honey in the Rock. If you don't know Sweet Honey in the Rock, get to know her. her, I mean them. Preheat your faith to 365 degrees into an open mind, slowly mix the following ingredients. 7 ounces of willpower, 1 pound of patience, 3 heaping tablespoons of perseverance, and 9 inches of knowledge. Cover with love and let stand until it begins to rise beyond your expectation. In the meantime, stuff your open heart with equal parts of compassion and understanding. Take out your largest casserole dish, all in with all your ideas. Take the open mind and the stuffed heart. Place them side by side in the casserole. Bake forever, forever inside your faith and life's expectations will let you know when it's done. Go on out.
Now comes your work and your challenge for the day. I want you to begin to take a look at your badges and I'll tell you where you're going to go and what you're going to do. First of all, those with room one, how many have room one on their badges? You will stay here, okay? All right. How many teachers are here for the teachers for? All right, with the teachers to stay, we're going to have you go to the teachers for right next door. You're going to stay in the same room. You're going to stay in the same room all morning. And your instructors will move from room to room. You will not have to move once you go to your particular room. And let me give you your assignment. We will also have lunch for you up here. And you should be here promptly at 12:50 for the 1 o'clock lunch. The assignments are as follows. I'm going to call the teachers forward, the instructors, to take you to their respective rooms. First, room 2, which is on the 28th floor, one floor down, that is the session is using the internet as a developer. That's Marquesa and the Cedric stock here. Okay, Cedric, we're going up. Who has room 2 on their badges? Okay, I can follow Cedric. Come on forward. All of room 2.
Poor Jamie.
That's Dr. Phil Collery, this is Eric Burgess, Darren here, this is Dr. Phil Collery. Those in room 3, please come forward. This is Dr. Collery, he'll take you down to your animation workshop. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Here we go. Good morning. That was quite something this morning. It's so nice to see you all here. We really are excited about an opportunity to work with you. I'm going to let you in on what's happening behind the scenes. Ladies, thank you. Thank you. All right. They're going to just count to see how many people are in the other rooms, and some of you might be moving a bit later. This morning was really rather interesting for me. I was listening to Wakesa talk to you about what motivates you in life, and talk to you about family, and ask you some questions about being a consumer and a producer. John, do I need to start getting stressed?
Nope.
Huh?
Nope.
No? Okay. And so this presentation this morning is, in part, our presentation is entitled The Internet and You as a Consumer. Now, when we talk about the future, you know, I don't know whether I was so keen on my case and all that for a year stuff, because I'm still looking at my future. But when you think about the future and you think about things you want to do, things you want to buy, places you want to go, you realize, of course, that, believe it or not, you're in that time of your life that serves as the planning ground for your future. I thought it was interesting that a number of you, when asked about your ideas and your ideals, spoke of education. And education, I mean, let's think about the big things you might buy in life. You want to help me? What might be one big thing that you want to buy in life? What was that?
A computer.
A computer, okay. What else? A car. I've got about three different cars. Each time I see a pretty car, I go, oh, I love that Jag. Wow, that Mercedes is gorgeous. What else? A mansion. Yes. A mansion. I want a swimming pool inside my house so that I, you know, let go, take my little workout. What else? Over here. What was that? A jacuzzi, yes. And when you get old or gray like me, and your knees start bothering you, your back creaks, you'll really want a jacuzzi. Are all those people leaving me?
Yes.
Okay. See you later. What else might you want to buy in your life? Anybody want a fur coat?
No.
I do. Okay. What do you think the biggest cost in life, one of the most important things that you might purchase in life, and will be the biggest cost item for you, what do you think that will be? What do you, hello? College. I'm going to ask you to stop there, Patty. Okay, thank you. All right, where are my people going? One of the, probably the biggest expense and the most important expense in life will be college. But it is college, if you will, that provides you with one of the big blocks that will allow you down the road to think about buying one of those cars, or that mansion, or taking that dream trip. I want to go to, I've been to Africa, I've been to Europe, I've been to Sweden. I want to go to Thailand, and I want to go to Bali. But it will be that college education that serves as the block, the building block, that allows you to move on and do these other things that you dream about in your future. Monica, would you be kind enough to hit the next? So I've entitled my presentation, Plan and Reach for the Stars. And I'm not bragging, but my family has, let me see, my father's grandfather. This morning when Marquesa was talking about growing up and the Ku Klux Klan, my father's grandfather was a slave. And he was on the cusp of slavery, so that he was a slave, and then there was the Civil War, the North won, Lincoln freed the slaves, and so he went from being a slave to being a free man. And 10 years out of slavery, he had a college degree. And so in my family, I'm the fourth generation to go to college and graduate with a lot of go and graduate, fourth to go and graduate, and my sons are the fifth generation. I'm the third generation in my family to have what they call an earned doctorate. So, let's go back to plan and reach for the stars. I might just get that fur coat. All right, let's start with centering self. And that's a real important piece. I feel like we're centered in here. But let's take a moment now. Most traditions say, breathe in, take a deep breath in, breathe from your diaphragm. Breathe in, let's get, no way, breathe in, breathe. Breathe in and breathe out. Through your mouth, please. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in with your sound. That's right, makes your shoulders roll back and then breathe out. I know this is a struggle for some of us, but this is about relaxing. You'll see here it says centering self. And centering self just means try and find that place inside of yourself, here and here and here, that allows you to focus. Now, I didn't realize we were going to be so far away from the screen, but this is what's known as a Native American medicine meal. And medicine is practiced in many different ways around the world. But this particular theory or concept of medicine says that, in fact, we are divided up into multiple parts. That there is our physical being. There is our emotional being. There is our spiritual being. I could get close. And there is our mental being. Did I give you four? So you have emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual. And that when you get sick, or when you get, if the physical becomes out of balance with the emotional, it's like putting too much salt or too much pepper in your food. It'll show. In your handouts, you will see, I gave you this chart. And around it, there are all the different ways that you use computer technology. Are you with me? Look and see when you can find it. All the different ways that you use computer technology. All right? And I tried to match them up with the different ways, the different parts of who we are. Did you find it? What's your name, Dior? Who is your name? Chanel, did you find it? This, here it is. Okay, it's so small, my eyes are so bad. But all the different ways that you use computer technology. So that we're not going to stay on this too long, and you've got good eyesight, so you can figure this out. But for example, when people go on spiritual quests, you know, the spirit. Spirit is about searching for things, looking for answers. One of that reminded me a great deal of research. When you go out and look for answers, trying to address questions. So I'd like you to take a little time and look at this, because I think this is a less fragmented way of looking at the kind of work that you are going to be doing with all of the different technology applications that you have at your disposal. Veronica next. Now, remember I started out with, somebody, my girl back here is going to buy that mansion. Anybody there? Vacation. Where do we want to go? The Bahamas. Cancun. I've been to the Bahamas. I've never been to Cancun. Where would you go? What about you? Jamaica. Been there. Fabulous. And you, young man, where would you go? Vietnam. That sounds like a very interesting place to go. I want to go to Asia. I've never seen Asia. And I want to go to Asia. And then, of course, someplace like Vietnam would be both physically and historically a monumental place to go. When you look at your future, the major pieces that come out in your future are going to be, what's your career? Does anybody know what they want to do in life? What career do you want? Criminal justice, social work. Anybody else have a career goal?
Math teacher.
Okay, career, finances. I mean, talking about your future. What kind of finances do you want? Nobody knows? Well, trust me, you want as much finance as you can get, as much money. You want retirement. Okay, think about this. They say that the earlier you start saving money, the more money you have in the end. In fact, you can start early saving a little money, and you will have more money than somebody who starts late and saves big money. So if you start saving $5, $10 a month now, in fact, you might have more money than somebody who later on in life starts saving $100 a week. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Compound income. But your finances, your home, car, your bank, family, that's probably the most important thing. Yes, wouldn't you say that? Everybody here wants to have a family? Mm-hmm. Sure. And you want to be able to provide for your family. You want to be able to buy shoes for your children. Give them, take them to dinner at times. Let's go to Jamaica. Send them to college. They say that to raise a child to the age of 18 costs anywhere from $250,000 to $1 million or more. That's a lot of money for a child. And I put down here in the corner, college. Because college is what's going to help you support those, increase those finances, lead you to a career, and help you to be the kind of parent and mate, mother, daughter, sister, brother, father, son that you want to be. Next. So when we think about college, okay, why do you want to go to college? Which college do you want to go to? How are you going to pay for it? How do you get in? Guess what? Hey, what kind of girl? She knows which one she wants to go to.
Now, if you look at that picture, that's my hometown. If you look at that picture with that road, the which one, that's about which road are you going to take? Get in. Let me shake your hand and say congratulations, Miss. You just got accepted to the College of Miss Law. Your choice. Finances. I cut the money. I'm worried about it. Come on down. And why? Why do you want to go to Columbia? You just like that New York, New York. The Big Apple. What? It's an excellent college. It's an excellent college. Next, Veronica. And we're going to talk about, let's take your why. Okay? Why would you want to go? Why would somebody want to go to college? These are some of the questions.
To get a better education.
To get a better education, but let's make it even more focused. Okay? When I was your age, and I'm going to do the Watkisa thing many, many years ago. When I was your age, not too long ago, and I was deciding where to go to college, I was so naive, okay? I came from New York City, where nobody owns, you know, even adults don't own cars. We've got a fabulous subway system, we got buses, we got trains, all the airports. It's a little island, it's only 28 miles long, all right? I went to visit this college in Maryland. It was beautiful, it had horses, there were ducks. But it took 4 hours to get from the college to the nearest big town. I'm a big city girl, okay? I'm used to running. I was so unhappy. So that's the kind of, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I'm ahead of myself. That's which one. Let's go back to why you want to go to college. Well, you might want to go to college because somebody told me they were interested in law. Okay? That's your interest, your career goals. If you're interested in law, or let's say you're interested in veterinary medicine, you want to go somewhere that's got a reputation, or at least a major, in what you're interested in, right or wrong. Now, I'm like, what is it? Right or wrong?
Right.
How many of you into sports? Okay. If you are in, what's your sport? Football. If you're into football and you want to play, you want to go to a college, you might want to go to college so that you get an opportunity to play more football. Any other sports?
Basketball.
What about you? Basketball. If you're into basketball and you're girls, you may want to have an opportunity to play basketball after high school. Some people, when I was growing up, a lot of girls went, and guys, went, girls especially, went to college to get married, to find a husband. Hey, things have changed. But you may want to go to college to meet people and make friends from other parts of the world. Okay, next. Which one? Now we're back to my question. You got me off track. Which one? Do you want to go to a college, that's in a big town or in a little town? I made a mistake. I went to a college that was in the, almost on a farm. All right? I should have gone to a college in a big town. That's where I ended up. All right, that's where I went to college. Do you want to go to a college that they're only boys or only girls? Or do you want to go to one that's both? Both, that's interesting. Do you want to go to what they call a predominantly black college? Okay, there are those. Or do you want to go to a college, for example, if I had to do life over again, I think I might want to go to the university in another country. I have a young friend who just did, she went to Costa Rica and learned Spanish. She studied there as part of her college experience. All right, think about, these are some of the things
that help you decide which college do you want to go to. Do you want to go to a college that has what they call a junior or a senior year abroad, or that has a co-op program like Northeastern here that allows you to work at least one semester, tri-semester? Okay. Are you interested in physics or chemistry or astronomy? If those of you are interested, then you need to figure out which school has the best science labs to meet your needs. And then many of us, I had to do it all over again, I might have gone to the college that my mommy went to, or that my daddy went to. That family connection here? Because there is something important about heritage and history. Okay? Next. Getting in. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Why is April 15th such an important day? That's the day for some of us, it's tax day. But April 15th is the day that colleges mail out acceptances or rejections. That is getting in. And let me just go this way. Young man, we'll bring you in. Six? Oh, you've got a good bit of time. We'll bring you in. Six.
Young lady, we'll bring you in.
No, I'm just kidding. Oh, and you know the deal. Okay, what about you, young lady? Yes.
Eight.
Let me tell you about, remember I said plan, 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 and reach for the stars? This is a good time to start working on your plan, okay? You're not little pew-pew babies anymore, right? You got a pretty good idea of who you are. You know what things interest you. You don't know all the things that interest you, but you've got a pretty good idea, okay? You've seen, thank God for the internet or television or magazines, books. You have enough time to do the research. And that's what Rosette's going to talk to you about later on, which is doing the research. Getting on that internet, and if you think you want to be a legal secretary, let me tell you what happened to me. Somebody offered me a job. Alright? And this job, I mean, there's an expression, it glitters, but it's not gold. Because when you get down to the very bottom part of the job, I have to do something that I hate to do all the time. I have to write articles, write articles all the time. I never get an opportunity to come out and hang out with folk. And I said, it's more money, it's got a better title, but it's not what I want to do. So if you want to be a legal secretary or a Supreme Court judge and you get bored reading legal briefs, you need to know that now. I had a good friend, he always wanted to be a dentist, but every time he saw blood, he got sick. You know, it's not going to work. So, use the internet, and Rosette will be talking to you about that. Use the internet as a place where you can research all of these pieces. What is it I want to do? Why do I want to do it? What am I interested in? Which college do I want to go to? Do I want to go to the University of Hawaii? All right. You go to the University of Hawaii, you can go. This girl went to the University of Westminster in London, and she got on the ferry every weekend and went to Europe. Are you with me? You got time. You got time. You got time. Use that internet. getting in, and this is really important. And this is back to why you need to start now. The test, the SATs, the ACTs, they're prep courses. You can buy the book. They give you the questions on the internet. You need to know what dates. You need to start working on that now, part of your plan. The essays. They give you the essays questions on the internet. There are all kinds of websites that will help you. They critique the essay. They say, oh, it's too long here. Oh, you didn't use enough verbs there. Some of these exams are corrected, are scored by computers. Are you with me? The GMAT, which is the one for business school, graduate business school, the first scoring is done by the computer. In fact, more and more of these tests, no longer will you be taking them on paper and pencil, but you'll be taking them on the computer. Recommendations. You're going to have to get recommendations from your teachers, from your coaches, from your ministers, from those of you who are employed. But these are all things that are part of your plan. Next. College finances. It is true that there are scholarships out there just because you have a certain last name.
Can you believe that?
Can you believe that? There are scholarships out there for college because you live in a certain place. There are scholarships out there because you came from a certain place. And then there are scholarships out there that are general that all of us have the right to apply for. Scholarships, loans. The U.S. Department of Education is a major, major source of information. And Rosette's going to tell you a little bit about that. The colleges that you apply to and the high schools that you are leaving often have scholarships for all different kinds of things, for academic acumen, for sports ability, for service. Those of you in your churches, many of the sororities and fraternities have monies for college. And then, of course, is what they call work-study internship programs at schools that allow you to work to help pay for your college. Now, I guess I should have said future, college, plan, and reach for the stars. Plan college and reach for the stars, or reach for the stars and plan college. But I hope that you hold on to this and use this as a sort of mind dabber to get you to think about all of the things you need to think about as you think about the future. Do you have any questions? No? Okay. Rosette?
Thank you.
ladies, come down here so we can double up. Are you okay? Come get a chair and let's double up. There you go, put your bag down, get a chair and let's double up. I'll bet three tests with a little speed, ladies. I ran over. Okay? Watch the computer. Thank you. All right. Okay. The first thing we want to do is to just get an understanding of some key intellectuals. And I'm sure most of you know them. So bear with me a little bit if you already know them. But for those people who don't, we'll just quickly run through. The first thing, and I think my professor this morning asked you some of these questions already, what do you use the internet for? How is the internet affecting your life? And some of the answers you gave this morning were, what do you use the internet for? Entertainment and research. Okay? Do you know how the internet works? Is it a humongous computer that is sitting out there somewhere? Yes, no? Anybody? When you send an email, how does the information, how does the email leave your, from your computer to where you want it to go? With your address. Okay. So what I'm going to do is a quick little diagram here. So this is your computer at school or at home, and you have the information going through telephone lines, through your modem, going through your ISP, another one for ISPs, internet service provider, and it goes on to the, so it goes through a series of networks. Okay? So the internet is a collection of networks, and you have the World Wide Web, which contains all the documentation sitting on top of it. What does WW stand for? WWW. World Wide Web. Okay, a quick summary again. The internet is like a post office, right? Why is it like a post office? What do you use the post office for? You send mail. So likewise, you use the internet to send mail, right? And when you address the letter, you have an address that you put on the letter. So when you have to send an email, you need an address. How many people have emails? Where do you have your emails from? And no one at school. Okay, how many people have Hotmail? Yahoo? All right. We have a Yahoo fan over here. Okay. Another concept is the idea of the internet as your television. What do you get on your television? What kind of information do you get? When you watch TV? Advertisement. You get news. You get entertainment. These are some of the same things you get on the internet as well, right? Okay. Another way to look at the internet is as a bulletin board. Anybody go to any news groups on the internet? We post messages. That's another thing that you can do. If you're doing some research, you can post, you can go to a news group and you can post information or ask questions. And also the internet as a library. You go to your school library and you have tons of documents, tons of books. And likewise on the internet, you have lots of documentation, zillions and zillions of data out there. And like in a library, you have a catalog. You need somehow to be able to get to the information. And so we have those search engines. Can you give me some examples of search engines? If you have
Yahoo.
AOL.
Exxon.
Good one. a keyword search, which you do on a site or even sick. It helps if you know the address of the site that you want to go to. Right? So if you know the URL, then you can put it in directly and that will take you directly to the site. And the other idea I want to introduce to you is the one-stop shop place that you can go. And this is where you would go and have all the information in one central place. And an example of that is I want you to log on. And the site we're going to is called www.collegeboard.org. You're going to go to collegeboard.org. Alright, so we're going to do www, where it says address. www.gov. Alright, you're going to talk where it has your address at the top. So you're going to get http://www.college.org. I want to get on, I want you to browse. Let's go, there's information about financial aid, there's information about the SATs, there's information about high school. So just pick a link that is of interest to you.
Good, because a different color, and normally it's underlined.
okay? And then we talked about search engines. And here are some examples of search engines: Northern Light, AltaVista.com, GoTo, Yahoo, and Excel. And then there's also this other site, maybe you've heard of it, it's called AskJeeves.com, where instead of, you can just type a whole sentence of what you're looking for, and it will go on to search and provide that information to you. All right, these are the links of and some sites if you're looking for information about college, but it's in your handout, so we'll just run through those, and you can check it out in your handouts. And these are some links to different radio stations on the internet. You can listen to music. You can, and when you do a Kester's workshop, he will show you how you get to put your own radio station on the internet. Free email sites. Again, Hotmail Africa is a good Afrocentric site. So you can have email and search as well on this site. Okay, to wrap up, I want to leave you with a challenge. And what is the question that I'm posing to you is, how can you use the internet to make a difference in the lives of your family, at school, and in the community? Yes? Go ahead. Anybody? Yes?
If you have something that you want to do, you can make a website and ask people to help you.
Great.
Yes? You could, like, pay the tax and the
bills. You can?
Pay bills.
Okay. Alright, I have a list of some ideas that you might consider or think about. Firstly, and we had Ashley said number one, you can create a website, you can send emails, and you can talk about things that affect you in the community. As a young person, what are some of the issues that you are dealing with? You can send emails to the editors of the newspapers, the different TV stations. At school, you can be a computer buddy. You know, some people pick up things quicker, so you can help somebody sitting next to you to search and to do research on the internet. You could maybe think about a technology night so the rest of the school can find out what it is that you're doing. You can help your teachers carry out research on the internet. You can volunteer to do some research. And also, you can help at home by volunteering to take your parents, your grandparents, your sisters, brothers to the technology center. If you have a computer at home, getting them to get an email address. And lastly, and we talked about building and maintaining a website at school. So this is a tool that you can use to make a difference, to say what is on your mind, and to help others as well as helping yourself. And it's a good career to be in, and this is the way of the future, so as a career goal, that's something to consider as well, focusing on some aspect of internet technology. Thank you very much.
Thank you.